Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of May, recording at 9:27 p.m., and that's British summer time. And what a beautiful British summer day it's been. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook, but first a quick review of the week. Stock markets, well, it was pretty much of a bloodbath, but Wall Street closed near the highs of the day, up 1.5% on the S&P. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds have been very firm, safe haven stuff. That's bond prices I'm talking about. In the currencies, the yen has absolutely soared over the last week, but weakened today. And ditto the dollar, although the dollar was not as strong as the yen, and the dollar is a little bit higher than the yen here today. Commodity markets, industrial commodity markets, are pretty well hammered over the last week, and they were mixed in here today. So at minimum, we're getting some short covering, possibly some bargain hunting in here today. Crude oil just hovering just above that $70 level. Copper market, that was interesting. That closed up 15 at 309.45, so back above that psychological $3 level. Although the more important psychological level is up around the 350 area, as you probably know if you're interested in copper. And precious metals, last but not least. Palladium bounced in here today. They've all bounced from their... No, that's not true. I was going to say that they had all bounced from their 200-day moving averages, but platinum... They were all hit during the week, least of all gold, but nevertheless, it's had a clear downward dynamic this week, as they all have. Gold is currently trading at down 5. It's at $11.77. Had been $11 lower than that at one stage this morning. Okay, so where are we going with all this? Well, let's start with the background factors here in terms of stock markets. I mean, stock markets had been climbing the wall of worry for quite some time last year. Then they went into a long sort of lengthy consolidation that spilled over into January. Led to a pullback mean reversion towards the 200-day moving average trend mean, and then rallied steadily 9-10 weeks up to highs in mid-April, lost upside momentum there, and then unraveled as sequentially a number of fears weighed on the markets. One was China. China was really first. China had been underperforming for quite some time, but the markets became increasingly concerned about a series of baby step moves, incremental moves, by the monetary authorities in China, mainly increasing reserves, bank reserves, so that the banks couldn't lend so much money, and putting certain constraints on lending to property speculators. I don't believe they actually raised short-term interest rates, but so it was mainly, as I say, done through lifting reserve requirements. Now, that did cause concern because sentiment spilled over, affected the stock market. So that was the first of what I think I really should call it a quadruple waterfall of events. But the bigger hits occurred more recently, and a couple of them caught people somewhat by surprise. First was the SEC indictment of Goldman Sachs for fraudulent misconduct. Now, that wasn't a total surprise, because we know that they've been looking at the banking situation for quite some time, but the timing surprised people, and I think the strong wording, fraudulent misconduct, certainly worried people. Then there was the more economically serious issue of Southern Europe's spiraling government bond yields, and that certainly unnerved investors and caused all sorts of people to forecast that the euro was both in serious trouble and also likely to collapse. And then we had one of the a factor that is likely to have affected sentiment as much as anything, and that was Wall Street's sudden 10-minute sell-off of nearly 1,000 points in the Dow on the 6th of May. Now, again, you can apply past tense to all these events, although arguably the Chinese move against property speculators continues, and also the fraudulent misconduct business is going to be in the pipe, as it were. But the problem is that although these I can describe these in the past tense, that people are saying who's next, or in the case of the meltdown, if it can happen once, it can happen again. And so there's a lot of nervousness and anxiety that's led to some churning volatility, as you've seen in markets. Churning volatility after an uptrend is a sign of top formation development. And we do see a number of top formation characteristics, and also a number of top formations on indices. For instance, I had an email query today about Australia and Brazil, both of which had broken down out of ranging patterns, as have some other stock market indices, although not all of them by any means. Now, are these serious tops in terms of their implications, or just minor? The fact is that no one knows the answer to that, but we all have opinions on that. I have seen enough to say previously that this has really, well, I'll just use the word sidetracked. I feel it's sidetracked the cyclical bull markets that we had seen for the most part. It may not have sidetracked them all, but it certainly has for the majority. That means that I do not expect the overall upward trends to be resumed by many stock markets anytime soon. We may see a few do that. Few of the minor emerging markets might possibly do that. Some from Asia, in that ASEAN group that supply China with so many products, particularly or so many goods, I should say, particularly agricultural commodities. They may hold out and move a bit higher in here. There's likely to be something unless we get an absolute blowout to the downside, but I don't think we're going to get that. However, fear really can cause a paralytic effect among investors, and as Owen has pointed out today in his comment, all that it takes is for people to stop buying, and then you have a sustained downtrend as investors gradually capitulate or rapidly capitulate, and prices can only go lower if nobody's willing to buy. Well, my own view is that we're moving into a buying range. We may well get a better buying range overall. And having lived through, we've all lived through that 2008 and first quarter of 2009 a bear phase, and that was very savage. So that's still fresh in people's memories. And so inevitably, when stock markets roll over and start to break support levels, particularly when they start going below the February reaction lows, as some have, including Brazil and Australia that I mentioned, then that's going to have a very negative effect on sentiment, as we have seen recently. And people are more likely to expect the worst, based on that experience of 2008 and early 2009. Whereas conversely, if they'd seen a much smaller downward move, they'd be more relaxed about it. Now, the fact that we had such a big move to the downside in 2008, does that make it more likely that it happens, something like that happens again, or less likely? Well, I would have thought it makes it less likely. That was a depression discounting event, and we haven't wound up with that type of environment, as you know. A lot of countries only had a growth recession, the Asian and resources countries, and have seen some quite strong growth over the last year and counting. But I think that growth story is going to be impaired somewhat. First, Euroland, that's all those countries within Euroland, collectively, that's the world's biggest economy. They face some tough times here, since everybody has a debt problem in Euroland, even Germany. And I think that the shocking surge in the southern European long-dated government bond yields, and no doubt helped along the way by plenty of hedge fund selling, but that was the reality check here for everybody else, and so a lot of countries, including the UK, which is able to do this fortunately with a new government, to say we better tackle this quickly, so that we're showing the markets that something is being done to prevent a spike in long-dated yields here. Now, at the moment, yields have been coming down because we have had that retreat into the long-dated government bonds. As stock markets came down and commodities came down, people have feared deflation. They're right in the sense that the deflationary or disinflationary pressures have certainly increased in the short term. I'll just repeat that because I don't want to exaggerate the risk. I don't think it is an exaggerated rate, but certainly the deflationary or disinflationary influences have increased in the short term. And the blow to sentiment from the quadruple waterfall of events, the weaker stock markets, will cause people to lower their expectations for corporate profits somewhat. And they're probably right in that respect. I'm not totally convinced of that. But that's certainly the mood at the moment, that the growth story has been impaired somewhat. I don't think it's been derailed, but we might see a little bit of softening in some of those economies. And China and India, for instance, would not be at all unhappy to see a bit of a slowdown in growth. India has the inflation problems, and I've already mentioned what you're well aware of is China's problem of property prices, and a bubble that was forming there. So that's the overall background, and I don't think that it's a recipe for a resumption of the cyclical bull market in equities over the near term. Now, do we then get a move back down to the March lows, as Greece has already shown us? Well, no, because I think Greece is an exceptional situation, and I don't think the outlook is that bad. That doesn't mean that we don't have plenty of problems. We've got, I think there are banking problems. Banks have led to the downside. That's a concern. I've already mentioned the possibility of slower GDP growth, which is certainly a concern. Part of that story is due to the fact that governments and their central banks realize that they really do need to act on the deficits. So that's more deleveraging. Deleveraging is not a pro-growth development, although it's a necessary one for economies that have amassed huge debts due to too much credit. So that's a less bullish environment. Is it an outright bearish environment? Probably not. Short-term interest rates are going to remain quite low. Governments will not want to see Japan-style deflation settle in their economies. Some won't be able to prevent it. Greece, for example, won't be able to prevent it. Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Italy, in the over the medium term, inevitably experience some deflation. But will this happen globally? No, would be my answer, and certainly not in Asia, and certainly not among the resources economies. Will we get a very bearish environment for commodities? I don't think it'll be sustained, because I don't think we're going to see more than a modest slowdown in China's GDP. And I think we're probably quite near the end of the moves to curb property prices in China. And there are some reasons to feel that's the case. We're seeing property indices turn down in parts of China, and the Chinese premier has expressed some concern about the effects for the broader economy, which they do not need to slow or wish to slow very much. So that's the overall background. We do not have rising interest rates in either anymore, and in the long dated areas where they had been going up, and that's been temporarily capped by the $1 trillion that the ECB says it's made available. So although the debt problems haven't been solved, they've been papered over for the time being. But the net result of all this is, I think we've created an environment where stock markets break their upward trends. They've pretty well done that, most of them already. And we get some ranging activity. And some spend most of the time in the upper side of the range, and some of the weaker ones do a little less well. And Greece and a few other companies with similar countries with similar problems are much closer to their March lows overall. That's hardly the end of the world. It's not very exciting in terms of those who are long. The silver lining in it all is that it has pulled a number of equities back into buying ranges. It's also pulled a number of commodities back into buying ranges. And I think that's quite interesting. More on that in a moment. Okay, moving on. What about the long-dated government bonds? Once stock markets regain, once stock markets show signs of bottoming out, and they haven't done that, they're a bit oversold in the short term. But you only see the evidence of bottoming out after it's already occurred. You're going to need to get some stability and then break through some resistance and establish higher reaction lows. It all takes time to do that. But when that happens, I think we're inevitably going to see those long-dated government bonds. Prices come down, yields move up somewhat, because the additional quantitative easing that we're seeing can only be inflationary for the long term. But I don't think we have an inflation problem of any real consequence here in the short term, at least not in the OECD countries. But what's an inflation problem? We see inflation over 3% in the UK. That's a fairly rapid erosion of purchasing power overall. Inflation is considerably higher in India, but that will improve if they get a decent monsoon. Okay. What else to focus on here? Again, I've said that I think that stock markets are moving into a buying range. We can start to think about what to accumulate. I've said this before in the last few days. I've said I'm in no hurry, actually, to commit more capital, but I would sooner be a buyer than a seller, in terms of my long-term investment portfolio. I'm not yet. I'm keen to open up leveraged long positions. I did cover my shorts incidentally today. I had done that. I had to be away for part of the afternoon, so I had done that by jamming down stops on those positions. So my DAX and S&P profits have been taken. In terms of commodities, I also think that they're pulling back into buying ranges. I was talking to a subscriber in Chicago who has written some pieces on the grain and bean complex. That's his profession in the past, and he thinks that that corn is going to move up largely because he thinks China will need to import quite a bit of corn. I'll probably say more about that or write a little bit about it on Monday. But that looks interesting because you see basing activity in corn. You also see some basing activity in soybeans. But I would say that corn is the steadier of the patterns. I think that the industrial metals that move down and test support and then break their downward momentum, as copper may have done in here today, may have done. We had quite a good upward dynamic in copper today. Those look interesting. And some of the mining shares are overextended on the downside. Some of the industrial mining shares. That all looks interesting. To me as well. In terms of precious metals, I wrote about those yesterday, of course, but well, not of course if you haven't seen comment of the day, but if you're interested in that sector and didn't see it, you might want to have a look at what I wrote. But basically, the leaders have weakened. That's palladium most of all, and platinum. I just feel that with palladium now, upside scope is limited to top formation extension here, and that the medium-term uptrend for palladium is over, and that's the leader. Now, will some of the laggards, which had been in very good form recently, laggards only in the sense that palladium had a big accelerated advance. We saw strong gold and strong silver up until this week, but we didn't get the kind of bandwagon effect that we saw on palladium, just to put that in perspective. But all these are still within their onto the left of their rising 200-day moving averages, but I feel that the evidence does suggest that the medium-term advance is probably over. That evidence isn't conclusive with gold. All we've seen is sort of a moderate downward dynamic, if that doesn't sound tautological. So it's checked the rally. People will talk about a double top in gold. I think the odds of a medium-term ranging corrective phase that's quite high. Does that mean that long-term investors in bullion should sell any of it? I don't think so. I wouldn't do that. But should traders be long futures? Well, I think that's become a riskier game now. I don't have any precious metal futures right now. So that's the background overall as I see it. Have I missed anything important here? In terms of influences on the global economy, crude oil's not a problem. Commodity inflation is not a problem at this stage. Interest rates are not a problem. So I think we just get the, I think worst case scenario is we get a little bit of a slowdown in the economic recovery and recession in the countries that have been crunched due to their sovereign debt problems. And I think that it's an environment in which the Asian emerging market themes continue to show superior growth, and the resources providers continue to show superior growth. And on that note, I'll say I hope you're having as good weather as we had here today in London over the weekend, and enjoy it. It's been an interesting week. We'll see what happens on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.